So we're holding 21. Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf Aleph. Now, in order to begin this paragraph, we have to look through a bit of history. According to many Mefarshim, this takes place in the beginning of the reign of David HaMelech. Even though it's chronologically it's brought on after the whole story of Avshalom and Sheva ben Bichri, it actually happened before the whole thing with Avshalom, before all the wars that David HaMelech fought. This is happening right in the beginning of his reign. And there's a reason why it's happening. We're going to see later on why it's brought over here. So now, so let's go through a bit of history. Shaul HaMelech was punished for three averas that he'd done wrong. First thing he did wrong was he did not listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Gilgal. If you guys remember, he was told by Shmuel in the Gilgal not to engage in war until Shmuel arrives. Only when Shmuel arrives, then he's allowed to engage in war. However, Shaul saw that everyone's leaving him. Everyone's, you know, they were camped out there against the Plishtim for about a week. And one by one, each one of his soldiers started leaving him. He got really scared. He was terrified that everyone's going to leave him. He's going to remain alone. So before Shmuel came, he started with the war, and he was punished. What was he punished?
You told us that before.
Right. So we're going through a bit of history because we have to see exactly what happened. So what was the punishment for that? Remember?
The what?
What was the punishment for this avera that he did not wait for Shmuel?
I don't remember.
Shmuel yelled at him.
He yelled at him. What did he tell him? Mm-hmm. He punished him that his kingship will not be passed over to his sons.
Oh, yeah.
It will be given over to David.
Now, I remember you told us that,
The second affair that he did is the one that's famous, that everybody knows, that he did not listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Shmuel, by Mechamas HaMelech. He didn't kill out everybody. He left the king Agag and the sheep and cattle. And the punishment for that was that not only will his kingship will not be given over to his sons, but his own kingship will be cut early and will be given to David HaMelech even before he completed his reign. The third avera that he had done was when David HaMelech was running away from Shaul, he ran into Noiv Arkoyanim. Now, Noiv had no idea that David HaMelech was running away from Shaul. They just thought, you know, he was part of Shaul's household. One of his men. Yeah, and he told them he was on a secret mission. They supplied him with bread, water, everything he needed, and Shaul was told that the city of Noiv are supporting David HaMelech, and he went ahead and he killed him. He sent Doeg HaYadomi, who was the one who brought him the news. He sends Doeg HaYadomi to go ahead and kill out the whole city, which was a terrible, terrible tragedy. Now, part of the people in the city. Okay, so what was the avera? What was the punishment for this avera? The punishment for this avera was that he was going to be killed in battle, and his body and the body of his sons will not be properly buried and mourned over. That was the punishment for this avera. So that's what we're going to refer to in this parak, the third avera that he had done. Now, part of the city of Noiv had Givonim in it. And he assumed that the Givonim, it was mostly Kohanim, who were being Ovid in the Beis HaMikdash, but there were some Givonim. The Givonim were the Givonim. The Givonim appeared to Yoshua. Right, they appeared to him and they told him that they brought bread and water. They basically kind of fooled Yoshua to believe that they're not fighting against them. And Yoshua made a shvuah. We're going to refer to this later. Yoshua made a shvuah to them that he's not going to kill them forever. He's going to let them be the
water carriers,
the wood choppers.
Yeah.
That's the shvuah that Yeshua made to the Givonim. And right now, Shaul is going ahead and he's breaking that shvuah that Yeshua made to the Givonim, and he's killing them because he figured that they're part of the plot of rebelling against him, together with David. Because just like the city of Noi, the Kohanim, are rebelling against him, so too the Givonim as well are rebelling against Shaul, and therefore he considered them to be Meredith of Malchus, rebelling against the king, and he killed them, thereby breaking the Shavuah that Yeshua made to them. So now, at this parak, we're going to be referring to a Rav, a hunger that occurred during the time of David. So, why was David punished
for something that,
Shaul did? Shaul did wrong, right? So the Malbim explains that because he did three major averas. On the scale of 1 to 10, these three major averas are very very serious. Are taken very seriously. The avera of killing the Givonim is not taken so seriously because thing obviously was terrible and it was Chil Hashem for breaking the Shavuah that he made, that Yehoshua made to them. It's still not as serious as his other affairs. Therefore, he was not punished while he was alive. He was only punished after he was dead. But why did David and his generation deserve to be punished? So the Malbim explains that they deserve to be punished because after Shaul killed out the Givonim, most of the Jews figured the Givonim are, you know, these like grade C, grade Z citizens. And they did with them whatever they want. They kicked them out of their homes. They had nowhere to live. They had no parnasa. They couldn't make a living. They were extremely poor. Many of them died because of the conditions they were living in. And this generation of David HaMelech was held accountable for not taking care of the Givonim. It's one thing that Shaul did wrong by killing them. However, if you see something wrong, you got to fix it. You got to take care of it. Therefore, they're taken to task for not fixing the mistake that Shaul made. And that's why over here in this parak, they were punished with the Ra'av, this famine that occurred during the beginning of the reign of David HaMelech.
Was he still in Hebron at the time? Or?
It's a good question. It sounds like it was during the time when he was the Melech over the whole Jewish people. I didn't see anywhere in the Mepharshim that discussed where he was living. But it sounds like because we're punishing now all the Jewish people collectively. And so he was only a Melech over the whole Jewish people once he, you know, after he left Hebron. In Hebron he was king over only Shevet Yehuda. Okay, so let's start the parak. Vayi Rav Bimei David Cholish Shanim Shana Achrei Shana. So there's a famine now for three consecutive years, year after year. Vayivakish David is Pnei Hashem.
Yeah, man, okay. I haven't got
that. You don't have it? No, oh, we're in 21, Parak Chaf Aleph. Next parak.
I'm behind. I thought we went through that before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so again, Vayi Rav Bimei David Cholish Shanim Shana Achrei Shana Vayivakish David is Pnei Hashem. So there's a famine for three consecutive years, year after year. In the third year, David consults HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He asks Hashem, what is this all about? Why did he wake up only in the third year? What happened the first 2 years? He wasn't worried?
Yeah, that's like, you know, why didn't he ceases the hunger? He's learned, and I think it's three times in the Chumash it says that, you know, if you don't obey, didn't obey the Zorah, was one of them. I don't remember the other two at the moment. That would be a hunger,
right?
Mentioned. So why didn't why didn't he go to the Kohen Gadol and right away, and, you know, there's a hunger. Hey, you know, what's going on here? What's wrong?
Right. So the Radak explains that the first year he figured, listen, it happens. It's a happenstance. You know, 1 year there's a hunger, It could happen. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. The second year that it happened, he figured that it was the Avera of Avodah Zarah, of Pesel Micha.
Yeah.
The Pesel Micha, yeah, who made a Getchke and everyone came to bow down to it.
It's not in order, that's the whole.
Right. So during the second year, he took care of all the Avodah Zarahs that existed in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah. Listen,
he wiped them out completely.
I can't do it.
And then, when the famine continued on the third year, then he realized that it must be something else. It's not Avodah Zarah, because he eradicated all the Avodah Zarah during the second year. So the third year, he figured, okay, it must be something else. So that's when he went to the Urim V'Tumim, and he consulted the Kohen, and he asked him, what is the famine coming for? Hashem answers him, and he says, "El shol v'el beis adamim al asher hemis sagiv oinim." The reason why you're receiving this famine refers to shol and beis adamim, right? What it sounds like two separate things. It's shol. Shol, first of all, killed them when he killed the givonim who lived in Naiv, and beis adamim refers to all the assistants and helpers of shol, who kicked them out of their house and kicked them out of their lands. Many of them died from the famine and the hunger. And right now, Bnei Israel are being punished mida k'neged mida, measure for measure, just like many of them died in the hunger. Again, they're not being punished for what Shaul did by killing them, right? Because that's Shaul's punishment. The fact that they didn't help them and provide them with food, clothes and land, which they deserved because Yeshua made a shavuot to them, and they were wrongly accused of rebelling against Shaul. That's why they're not punished with the same thing that the Givonim were afflicted with: hunger and death. So now they're being punished for that. So now, why did it take 22 years? It took 22 years since Shaul killed them until the Rav. So the Malbim says that it's beyond us. We can't really understand why Kadosh Baruch Hu waited for all this time.
If Shaul killed them, who are we talking about?
No. He killed only the ones that lived in Naiv.
But they were
spread out throughout the whole of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning he killed part of them. The rest were kicked out of their houses. They ended up, many of them, obviously they didn't die completely.
There were still some
referring to them in this parak, but they didn't completely die. Many of them were still alive, but they were living in poverty. They were living in poverty back then. If you were homeless, you didn't have a house. There weren't shelters. There weren't soup kitchens. Many of them ended up dying. Nebuch. So now, so we'll see what they request. So now David realizes that he's got to fix this error that Shaul made, and so he turns to them and he calls for them and he sees, okay, what can we do to take care of this? Vayikra melech l'givonim. So the king calls the givonim. Vayomer vayomer aleihem, and he asks them, what can we do? What can we do in order to fix them? And what do they say? Now we have to. It's the pasuk doesn't really tell us their answer, but the pasuk says we're going to see later on. The pasuk says that the Givonim ask him to kill 7 descendants of Shaul from the household of Shaul. And when David heard this, now we're going to see exactly why. Why are these 7 being killed? First of all, you have the issue of banim la'imsu ba'avin avos. You don't kill the sons for the sins of the father. So the Malbim deals with that, and he says that it's only if that, meaning there's a difference between dinei adam and dinei shamayim. Dinei adam, you don't go out and kill the sons for the sins of the father. But dinei shamayim, right? If it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu doing this, then over there you do kill the sons for the sins of the father, in a situation where the sons are continuing the averus, right, the averus of the father. Now over here in this case, it's not exactly, you might ask, it's not exactly din shamayim. David HaMelech, as we're going to see later on, he's handing over these seven sons of Shaul to be killed by the Givanim. This is Dine Adam, right? But we're going to see later on that it was really considered Dine Shemaim. Because David HaMelech, he had a whole line of the descendants of Shaul, and one by one they passed over right by the Urim V'Tumim. And the Urim V'Tumim would send some kind of signal which one should be killed. So this was, again, considered to be Dine Shamayim, because Hashem was telling them which ones are going to be killed. Why were these seven killed? Because, so there are different mafarshim to talk about it. Some hold that these seven were part of the, they were part of the Avera. They also helped their father kill the Givonim.
They helped?
In the city of Noiv. They helped. And therefore, right now, they're being punished many, many years later for killing them. But we're gonna see more later on. So now, now the pasuk says, once David heard this, he heard that what they're requesting is to kill, to take revenge against the household of Shaul, and to kill seven of his sons. Now he says, you know what? There are three signs for Bnei Israel. Three signs. What are the three signs for Bnei Israel? Someone who's a Jew. What are the three signs that the Gemara brings down?
Three signs?
Yes. There are...
Well, they got a good heart.
Right.
That's one of them.
Right.
And there's...
There's Baishanim. Right. They're humble. They're embarrassed. They're... Right?
Yeah.
There's Rachmanim. Merciful.
Yeah.
And Goyim Lechasadim. They're very kind and generous.
Yeah.
Altruistic. So now that he realized that these Gerim that were accepted by Yeshua, and Yeshua made a Shavua not to kill them, are not complete Gerim. They're not really considered to be part of the Jewish people, because if they were,
they wouldn't ask for revenge.
They wouldn't ask for revenge, exactly. So what is the pasuk telling us now? V'agivoinim loimi b'nai Yisrael heima. Now David realized, okay, these Givoinim are not really part of the Jewish people. They're part of the rest of the Emiri who were occupying Eretz Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael nishbu lehem v'yakasho l'akoysem b'kanoysi l'vnei Yisrael v'Yehuda. Bnei Yisrael made a shvuah during the time of Yeshua not to kill them, to accept them as gerim. And Shaul did not honor that shvuah, and he went ahead and killed them. Because he was jealous, he felt that they were rebelling against him. So Shaul felt that they fooled and they took advantage of Yeshua.
They
promised him that, you know, they're going to be part of the Jewish people, but really they weren't. So he felt that, you know, they're not really part of the Jewish people. They're rebelling against me. And he held that it was a mistake for Yeshua and all the Nesim to make a Shavua to the
before they Givanim. Before they asked the Urim V'Tumim.
Yeah.
They just did it on their own. And,
yeah.
They felt sorry for the, you know.
Right.
They came as beggars and
right,
without
exactly.
food and ripped clothes and
right.
whatever.
Right, they were fooling the Jewish people.
Yeah.
Right? Making them believe that they were these, like, yeah. you know, poor, innocent people. So Shaul felt, okay, we don't have to honor the Shavua was made to them by mistake. However, he's now being punished because even though the Shavua might have been made by mistake, you know, they might have been taken advantage of, however, it's still considered to be a Chilul Hashem to not honor such a Shavua. If the Shavua was made, right, B'Shem Hashem, by the leader of the Jewish people, you have to honor it. If you don't honor it, people say, oh, look at the Shavua that Yeshua made to the Givanim. It wasn't honored, right? The first king of the Jewish people, what does he do? He kills them out. Because it's a major Chilul Hashem, and that's why he was punished in such a way. All Right? So because Shaul didn't care for the Chil Hashem, that's why his descendants were punished. That's why seven of his descendants were punished. So now the Radak over here brings another reason why the seven people were killed. He says, according to his opinion, he says it could be that they were part of the killers who killed the Gefayim, but it could also be that they were still Ketanim, they were still little kids during the time that Shaul killed the Gefayim.
They were what?
They were still kids. They were still little, small children during that time. Right, because at that point, Shaul was king only for 2 years. Right, so if you make a cheshbon, the pasuk tells us later on who are these children. The pasuk refers to them as the children of Michal. However, they were really the children of Merav. And Merav, the reason why they were called the children of Michal was because they were raised by Michal. Merav ended up dying, so since they were raised by Michal, they're considered to be her children, but really they were the children of Merav. And as we recall, Merav was given to David HaMelech as before she was given to David HaMelech as a wife, she was given to Adriel HaMechilasi. Because Shaul held that his promise to David to give him his daughter is not chal, right? At the time, we went through the whole Mechilas of the Gemara. Milva pruta daita milva daita pruta. But in any case, he held that it wasn't really kiddushin. The kiddushin did not take place, and therefore they were not really married. And that's why he gave her over to Adriel and Machilasi. She was by him for many, many years. So if you think about it, the children that came from Michal must have been really, really small at the time. So he brings the same teretz that we brought before, that it's true that the banim, usually children, are not being killed for the sin of the fathers, but in the case where the children are not tzaddikim, and we're talking about a dinei shamayim, then the children are killed. They are punished for something their father did.
If they continue in the same way.
Yes, right. Okay, so let's continue. Vayomer David el hagivayim, ma'es lachem. Right, we gave kind of an introduction of what's going to happen. So David tells the Givayim, okay, well, how can we make this up to you? Right, how can I atone for the sins of Shaul and his household? We don't want money, we're not interested in gold and silver. We don't want to kill anybody from the Jewish people. However, so he's asking, okay, what do you want? Tell me what you want to be done, and we'll take care of it. We'll make it happen. Rolling in Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Hey.
Page 320.
Right, so now they're coming down to what they really want. So now they're referring to the two things that have done to them, right? What are the two things that were done to them? First of all, part of them were killed in Noiv. Right, that's what they say, Asher Kilanu, Moshen Kloya, being annihilated. Vasher Dimolanu, and Vasher Nishmadu Misat B'chol Gvul Yisrael. Not only were we killed, but we were kicked out of our homes and out of our properties, and we have no place to live in. So that's what they're referring to over here. This is what was done wrong to us. And now they're asking revenge for those two things. So what are they asking for? Yutan lanu shiva anashim, pasuk vav, yutan lanu shiva anashim, give us seven sons, mibonav, seven of his sons, v'yka'anum la'ashem v'giv ashol b'chir Hashem, v'yemer melech aniyetan. I want these seven sons to be killed and to be hung in Giv Ashol, the place where the body of Shaul HaMelech was hung when he was killed in battle. And David HaMelech agrees. Right?
This is a question. David agrees because he wants to stop punishment by Hashem. Because he, for 3 years he has hungry years. But this is people Givonim knows about punishment. Why is they ask so cruel?
Why are they being
why
so?
Why they believe they that David agreed to kill his people? They know about. He asked because of the stop punishment for Hashem or not?
No, they don't know that he can tell the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
This is what is question. Why they ask to kill people? Because why they believe David agreed to kill his people?
Why would they think that David HaMelech would agree to kill his own people?
I understand why he agrees, because this is only way probably to stop
the famine.
Years. But why they ask to kill?
You mean from their perspective, why would they think that David HaMelech would kill?
Usually people ask something, but it's not so cruel. He asked to kill 7 people.
Again,
if they know, they exactly know, David always agree. This is, I can ask anything, because you cannot say no. In some cases you ask you everything, because I know you never say
right.
No.
But somebody, in this case,
somebody takes your relative, you ask money, usually
right.
You believe you are ready to pay for everything.
Right.
But in this case, why they ask to kill 7 people?
Right. So you're saying
son of Melech.
Right. So you're saying they basically have no leverage. They're in no position to negotiate with David HaMelech and demand the revenge and the death of 7 people.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he would start davening and praying. You know.
Well, first of all, David HaMelech made it very clear that he's willing to give them whatever they want, whatever they need. And according to the Pshat, that these were the killers of Givonim, it's very reasonable for them, again, it's not reasonable, it's a very cruel thing, but on some level you can understand why they would want to have revenge against the people who killed their nation.
You had to do something. Hashem gave you, they made a famine. They were wrong. Now you have to fix it. How do you fix it?
Right. So
how else can you fix it?
The only way to fix it is by satisfying the Givonim. Whatever that's David HaMelech understands.
All right. Now you're saying that because the Givonim asked for this, that wasn't the right thing for them to ask.
I'm not saying it's not the right thing for them to ask, but David HaMelech saw from here that, you know, meaning, again, maybe, you know, they still had feelings of revenge, and they wanted to take revenge. If they were extremely righteous people, they would have gotten over that and not ask for revenge and kill the people who murdered them.
What should they have done? That's just a matter.
Meaning there's no right or wrong over here.
Something had
to be done. There's no right or wrong over here. Right? It's not like, oh, they asked for the wrong thing, they were wrong to do that. But however, they should, if they were really Jewish people, if they were true Gerim, they should have gone in lifnei mishuras hadin. They should have gone within the letter of the law, not to be so stubborn and ask for this burning revenge.
That's fine. But then what could have been done?
Maybe.
Not that.
What are the other options?
Yeah.
Maybe they...
To fix it and to stop them...
Well, see, first of all...
They should have run away to the Arab Miklat.
No, I'm saying, no, the Arab Miklat is only for someone who...
Yeah.
What, you're talking about... No, it's only someone who killed the Shege.
Then it gets decided by the Bezdin.
No, the, yeah, no. The army mikvah don't really play a role over here because that's for someone who killed b'shogeg. Over here, they killed, you know, with full intention, and they knew exactly what they were doing, right? They took out their sword and chopped their head off on purpose. So, well, again, so what are the other options? First of all, what should have been done right away was, you know, give them, supply them with food, with water, with property, a place to live, right? Meaning they could have been just satisfied just with that. You know, as long as you know, you take care of us now, you know, they're living in poverty. They have nowhere to, they're homeless. They're like gypsies. They have nowhere to live.
You're in a foreign land.
Exactly, yeah, give them a passport, a citizenship, a place to live, the right to vote.
Yeah, right.
Consider them as, you know, full. They could have said, yeah, as long as you take us back, you know, you restore our position, then, you know, that's good enough, right? We don't need revenge. We don't, listen, what happened, it was wrong, but we don't want any more blood.
Throw
they
the
could
guys
have said
in
that.
Jail, you know.
But they weren't happy with that. They wanted to see blood. They had this burning desire of revenge.
Couldn't David have said, why this? Why do I have to kill these people?
Well, they were murderers.
Yeah, but like a saying, he sees now that the Gevoinim are not so great.
Okay.
Right.
Why
couldn't he suggest that to them? Instead of killing them, will make you, you know, like you should have asked. Why didn't David make that suggestion?
Well, just the fact that they asked, that proves them already that they can't be part of the Jewish people. The fact that you want to kill, that's it, you're out. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to, like, start...
They didn't want money. They didn't
yeah, they
want
said,
money.
They made it clear, they don't want money. They don't give, you don't,
they
don't
want,
give us money.
They want revenge.
They want revenge, right? That's what they care about. And the fact that that's what they want, that's what bothers them, they still want a revenge 22
yeah,
years
yeah.
later, that proves to David, okay, these people cannot be part of the Jewish people.
But he did it anyway.
He did it because, you know, he consulted, obviously he consulted the Urim V'Tumim. Right, as we're going to see later on, the Urim V'Tumim gave an askama to each person that was going to be killed. Right, he didn't do it on his own. So clearly, he did it with consulting the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, just one more point before we go further: Yeshua already did not allow the Givani to marry the Jewish people. Right, so what did David do now? What did he do by not accepting them as part of the Jewish nation? So the Radak explains that Yeshua, all he did was, is he did not allow the Jewish people to marry them during the time the Beis Hamikdash was Qayyim. But when the Beis Hamikdash is not Qayyim, like at this point over here, or after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, there was no problem for them to marry the Jewish people. What David HaMelech did was, he did not allow them to join the Jewish people for the rest of the generations forever. They were not allowed to marry the Jewish people ever. That was part of the gzeira of David HaMelech. Once he saw that they wanted revenge, they're real murderers.
All right, he did what they wanted to, and then he said, "But that's it." You're
yeah,
not,
I'll give you what you want,
you're
but
you're
you know, from now on, yeah,
I'm not giving you
no passport, no green card, no right to vote.
Back
nothing.
To where you came from.
Yeah.
not converted to Judaism.
Well, they were accepted as gerim. Partially, by Yeshua. Meaning, they were allowed to marry the, like we said, they were allowed to marry the Jewish people, as long as the Beis Hamikdash was not Qayyim, was not there. Well, like now, for instance, at this point, the Beis Hamikdash did not exist.
Because this is statement. We thank them before Hashem. It means they accept the will of Hashem.
Well, this is more.
They ask seven people, and we held them before Hashem in Gibeon. It means they actually some want to show to want to say we want to show Hashem.
Right. We want to meaning what? We want to show that Hashem took revenge over the killers that killed our people. And from now on, the Jewish people will know not to do the same thing. Not to hurt us, not to kill us. Meaning, we're showing that Hashem, so to speak, made this happen. He agreed to this.
Oh, yeah, yes. They believe they approve.
Yeah. Yeah, they